Chapter 11. Interagency meeting at the BATF's place. Silver pots of coffee and plates of pastries on the side, jugs of ice water and files on the table, and projected on the big whiteboard that took up most of one wall, a high-res aerial shot of what was now, officially, the Bruntsville compound. Projected beside this, smaller, was a grainy close-up of a smaller part of the estate. What looked to be an enclosed, rocky escarpment, the blurred figures of two men visible at its edges. Eight people gathered around that table, six men and two women. Representing the BATF were Jerry Caldwell, Don Gerber, and Agent Brian Brent from their Special Weapons and Tactics Division. Representing the FBI were Melanie Bruckheimer and her boss, Section Chief Stanley Toss. Over from the Drug Enforcement Agency in San Antonio were Connor Rifkind and Shirley Blass, and over there in the corner, eating his Danish and feeling out of place among all the government badges, was Captain Craig Kinman of the Texas Rangers. This thing was moving now. The new intelligence, coupled with the positive response Don's boss, BATF Bureau Chief Sam Rodman, had received to the mooted raid in Washington. "This man," Barbara Mueller, the Attorney General, had said to Rodman, "seems to be deeply anti-American at the very least," had seen to that. "Shirley, Connor," Don was saying, very much the man in charge here. It was the BATF's party for the time being. "Why don't one of you guys fill us in on the DEA's take on what we're seeing in the smaller image up there?" "Yeah," Rifkin said, moving to the whiteboard, picking up the pointer. "This was taken last week on a flyover. It's a secluded area to the southern end of the property. Definitely a marijuana patch, we think. 100 square yards. Mature plants. You get a decent-sized crop from there, something in the region of 50 to 60 kilos. Is it arguable," Toss cuts in, "sorry, Connor, but is it arguable from a legal standpoint that this volume could be considered for personal use?"
"60 keys?"
Shirley Blass replies. "Not for the amount of people living there. Not unless it was personal use over the next couple of years."
"So there's intent to distribute there," Caldwell says.
"Correct," Rifkin says. "From these images, we can't determine what type of plant they're growing, but there's a good chance it's a hydroponic varietal.
One of these new superweeds you've been hearing so much about, ladies and gentlemen." "Thanks, Connor," Don says. "And I believe the FBI have some breaking news for us, too."
"Yeah,"
Toss says, reaching for the nearest coffee pot. "Go ahead, Mel."
"We tracked down and questioned a family whose surveillance said had recently departed the Bruntsville compound."
Melanie Bruckheimer, standing and passing around copies of the statement, shoving them along and across the lacquered walnut conference table that was bought and paid for by the citizens of the United States.
"The Rennets.
They stayed at the compound for nearly 3 months before deciding to leave. Field unit detained them at a motel on the Oklahoma-Texas border. The father, a Mr. Guff Rennet, alleges that one of the reasons for their departure was what he felt was inappropriate behavior on the part of this Jesus character toward his 8-year-old daughter."
"What does the daughter say?"
Don, not looking up from the statement.
"We haven't questioned her properly yet," Bruckheimer replies. "We're bringing them here to meet with a child psychologist."
"The other question that needs to be asked," Toss says, "is what's going on with all these kids? And from what we can gather, there's maybe 50 or 60 of them. Being out of the school system and holed up in a private compound like this?"
"Exactly," Jerry Caldwell says. "Our feeling is that in PR terms, this is an easy sell. A religious nut who's made explicit anti-American statements, who's holed up in some jerry-built private compound with lots of children and a cache of weapons, and who we now know to be cultivating drugs on the property?"
"On a weapons front, do we know anything definite there?" Toss asks.
"Brian?"
Don Gerbert gestures to Brian Brent from SWAT.
I interviewed this Pastor Glass, who made the initial allegations, and who claims to have seen this armory. He seems to know his guns. From what I could establish from showing him photographs, they've got at least half a dozen high-caliber hunting rifles in there, some with telescopic sights, maybe a dozen pistols, some semi-autos, some large caliber, too, nines and 45s, a few revolvers, and most worryingly, a couple of assault rifles, AR-15s, which, as you know, are the civilian equivalent of our M16.
It's very possible that these have been converted to full automatic fire, Jerry cuts in.
Yeah, many of the street-level AR-15s we seize have been converted in that way, Brent allows. But I couldn't say for sure based on what the pastor was able to tell me. What is certain, though, you got about 20 pieces in there. A lot of semi-automatics. Depending on their ammunition situation, they could, you know, they could give you some trouble with these weapons.
I'm getting the sense that the BATF is already leaning in a certain direction here,
Toss says, looking at Gerber, almost smiling.
Well, Stan, Don Gerber replies, given the size and layout of the property, I mean, we're talking about a couple of thousand acres here, the scattered nature of where people are living, where the drugs are, where the weapons are, the scenario of knocking on the front door and going through the motions with a routine search warrant would give ample time for some kind of cover-up or disposal operation. And, as you know, statistically, we have an excellent track record on performing these kinds of raids.
I have to say, Rifkin says, from a DEA perspective, we would definitely favor the element of surprise here.
So, what are you thinking, tactically speaking?
Toss asks, blowing on that coffee. Three teams, Brent says, getting up and going to the board with his pointer. The first one in position here, on the southwest border, who would come in through the woods here and take the marijuana patch here. That pointer clicking against the board every time he says the word here. The second team coming in through the wire near to the main entrance here and proceeding straight to the main house to seize the weapons. And a third team in reserve to be dropped in by helicopter here if needed. In the middle of the property to the back of the main house. 15 or 60 men in total. Texas National Guard would supply us with Blackhawks and maybe a tank or two for backup.
Pretty fucking ballsy considering the number of women and children in there, Toss says.
You know, Don Gerber says, I really don't anticipate a single shot being fired.
Yeah, Toss concedes. I hear you, Don, but you're coming from a point of view of taking down drug dealers. People who know they've done bad and who know when they're outgunned. You can predict how people like that are going to behave in a given situation. These guys,
he picks up a glossy photograph taken at long range, showing Jesus, Morgan, and Pete laughing at something.
In their minds, they're just innocently going about their business. You're less certain what they're liable to do when they see black jumpsuits coming out of the woods at them.
Are you saying the FBI would favor a less direct approach? Caldwell asks.
No, Toss says. Not necessarily. A raid might well be the right tactic. I'm just making a point, guys.
Duly noted, Gerber says. And in terms of time frame?
Blass from DEA asks.
Agent Brent's already got his squad in training at Fort Rigg, Gerber says. We're just 60 miles south of Bruntsville,
Brent nods.
We should be ready to roll in 3 to 4 weeks.
Dates, strategies, tactics, logistics and practicalities. Not a whole lot on ethics or morality. Once things got rolling, stuff like, why are we doing this, tended to take a back seat to, how are we going to do this? It would be noted later, at the internal inquiry, at the trial, that in this meeting, the FBI's Stanley Taus had raised concerns about how the compound inhabitants were likely to react to the potential use of deadly force. it would be noted, but it would still not be enough to save his job.